current state on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. Every Monday, M Live's Angela Whitrock joins Current State to stir up business news and the economy. How are you?
I am very well, Mark. How are you?
You haven't thrown in the towel on the Tigers yet this season. We're 3-2, I think.
Oh, I think we're 3-3 now, and they are just perpetually giving me heart attacks. And my poor child has heard probably more than her fair share of foul things out of my mouth this season than she deserves.
Well, in yesterday's State Journal, Stephen Reed said that the state of Michigan is letting a lot of tax revenue slip through the cracks. What's happening?
Well, first of all, credit to Stephen. This is a great job of investigative journalism. And, you know, a lot of times when we hear about the state not collecting taxes, we assume it's a tax break of some sort, and there are tons of these floating around. But what this is actually taxes that businesses are supposed to be paying that just go uncollected. By and large, there are many kinds of taxes, about $2.7 billion in total currently owed to the state, Mr. Reed reports. But by and large, most of it is due to businesses not turning over sales tax that they've collected from consumers, which is quite a mystery.
And just for some perspective, the story claims that that amazing sum is still a small percentage of all the taxes due the state, I think around 3%. But one of the things that jumped out at me at this in this article was that according to Michigan tax law, the Treasury Department's, quote, collection policies, procedures, and criteria are not public information, unquote. And this raises really the central theme in the story, questions about oversight regarding whether delinquent collections are even working.
Well, I think a lot of folks who read this story, and I encourage folks to go to the LSJ and read this story, you know, this is frustrating when you pay your taxes or even when you pay your sales tax on every purchase you make. And, you know, we raise the sales tax on occasion. You know, you're paying this money. You expect it to go to the government to pay for services that you use and that probably you think are priorities. And somewhere along that chain there, it doesn't get there. And, you know, there's probably not a lot of incentive to make sure you do it on time if nobody comes knocking on your door to collect that tax from you.
It's an aspect of the story that is easily overlooked. We hear about revenue shortages from morning till night, but the whether or not collections are working is a lot of times an unexplored angle to this whole story.
Right. And, you know, there's also the point in the article that the state does pay a collection firm out of Texas to collect these taxes.
Yes.
And it took months for them to turn over the amount of information about how much they pay the collection agency, what their actual return on investment was, you know, what they pay versus what they receive. So it's really a quagmire. There's no other word for it.
It got into an issue of oversight quite a bit of the article. And East Lansing Senator Gretchen Whitmer says in the story that ideally the legislature provides oversight, but that term limits mean legislators with the same experience as Treasury officials are grappling with this. And the learning curve, she suggests, is just too severe. And there are also some what they call difficult situations in the Treasury Department where apparently they're holding out hope that businesses will be able to get their act together and over time pay these sales taxes.
I'm sure that there's a tremendous amount of sympathy for businesses that are going through hard times. But, you know, to be fair, lots of people in this state, in this country, are going through hard times, and we pay a sales tax on every single transaction. And it should go to where it's supposed to go. It's a pass-through. Businesses are supposed to turn that money over. People pay it. There's really, you know, term limits, et cetera. Yes, it's difficult, but people are hired to do these jobs. They're hired to be the heads of these departments, and they should be doing their jobs. I don't think a lot of folks are going to have sympathy when they see service cuts and revenue sharing cuts, et cetera, on down the line. $2.7 billion is a lot of money. It might only be 3% of the total budget. But when it comes to, you know, per pupil cuts for education or potholes in roads or raising the gas tax, that's an incredible amount of money.
What do you think the aftermath of a story like this might be?
Well, you would hope it would be some type of action from the executive branch of the government. You would hope that that maybe Treasurer Dillon would come out and say this is inexcusable and we are going to collect this money. You know, they did have a tax amnesty, a 47-day amnesty in 2011, and in that time, about $80 million came into the state. Why they haven't done that again is a mystery. They probably should think about it, again, given that, you know, the economy is recovering, but it's going to take a while before we can collect the amount of money that, you know, through property taxes, et cetera, that would really impact people's day-to-day lives. So in the meantime, it seems sensible to collect the taxes that people are paying. You know, when you go to the grocery store or to a restaurant or, you know, to the Gap and buy summer clothes, that money belongs.
An amazing feature of this story, too, was the fact that when they did declare the tax amnesty, there were people they were expecting to hear from, and they heard from some of those, but they heard from all kinds of people that they did not know owed the state taxes.
Right. This is very, you know, disheartening in a way that there are people who owe them money that they don't even realize owe them money until they bring it to them. There are a lot of unanswered questions. Great piece of watchdog journalism, and, you know, good golly, we hope that some of that money comes in soon.
Yeah. Wednesday afternoon here in East Lansing, the panel reviewing redevelopment plans for the old Citizens Bank meets. This is, of course, the big property, the big old derelict property at the corner of Abbott and Grand River. Remind us what's happening there.
Well, the redevelopment proposal is actually for the city-owned properties near the Citizens Bank. The Citizens Bank building is still privately owned. Of course, that could change. What the city is looking at is about six properties, a couple acres, that were supposed to be part of City Center 2. They've solicited proposals. They've begun scoring those proposals to see what might float to the top, who they might want to work with as a developer to sell the land and have something at last go up there.
In some of the proposals, though, I should clarify what I just said in my question, some of the proposals, though, try to link the Citizens Bank property to the city-owned property.
Right. Many, at least two of the proposals are contingent or would benefit greatly from buying that Citizens Bank building, the little strip mall next to it, and also a property on Evergreen, all of which are owned by the Strathmore Company. You know, would like to acquire those and basically cobble together a totally private version of what City Center 2 was supposed to be, which would include things like a hotel, some shopping, restaurants, etc.
And everybody was waiting for the taxes to be paid, and indeed unpaid taxes on that bank property were paid off apparently last week. What happened and what does that mean?
In short, what it means is that Strathmore still controls that property. There's it's in foreclosure. It's been in foreclosure since October, but there have been a number of maneuverings that have allowed that process to sort of draw out. The next deadline for that is sometime in June. So by paying the back taxes owed to the city, he essentially controls the property a little longer until the next payment comes due, which is, you know, well over $500,000 in June. If that goes unpaid, then the deed goes over to DTN, which is seeking to redevelop that property as well.
The guy overseeing this review process, former East Lansing Mayor Doug Jester, spoke with me earlier this morning, and he will be joining Current State on Thursday morning to go into this. Wednesday afternoon is when the panel meets. There are like 17 or 18 members of this panel, and they have already tentatively scored the proposals for all of these things, but Doug told me this morning that the scores are just all over the place. So what they hope to do Wednesday afternoon, 4 o'clock in East Lansing, is to learn more from the developers themselves, from the people who are proposing these things themselves, and try to generate, I think, a little bit more clarity on what each one of these proposals means and really what they're all about. That, by the way, has been relocated to the Hanna Center. That was originally going to be taking place at Circuit Court. So if you were going to go cover that, go to the Hanna Center.
Helpful,
don't go
yes.
to. What else are you working on?
You know, I'm looking at the various fee increases and new fees that are coming down in the city of Lansing as part of the budget balancing effort. You know, parking tickets are going to cost more, even if you pay within 2 hours, it'll be $10 instead of $7, which is, you know, bad for me.
We've all been there. We've all hightailed it to the 54B District Court to get the $5 in there instead of the $20
right.
that may be waiting for you if you delay. You are also planning on running, we had a little side discussion here, you're planning on running the half marathon in the upcoming Lansing Marathon, right?
I am, yes. I've got a busy race schedule. I've planned the Lansing half, the 25K in Grand Rapids 2 weeks later, and then 2 weeks after that, the Bayshore half, then maybe a couple weeks later, the half in Ann Arbor, and then maybe a slight break before getting serious about a Grand Rapids half in the fall.
That is some serious mileage. How are the ankles and the knees holding up?
You know, they're holding up great thanks to the folks at Playmakers who keep me in great shoes, although I'm probably going to go drop a lot more money this summer.
And you and all of your colleagues at MLive were busy last week moving into your new digs on South Washington. How did it go? Has all the dust settled already?
The amazing thing is there is no dust. It's a brand new, beautiful facility. It's gorgeous. We encourage anyone and everyone to come stop by and say hi. You as well, Mark. You were supposed to come in last week.
I wanted to come in on Friday.
Well, you missed all the pie. We ate all the pie. But there will always be hot coffee and good conversation and lots of folks you can come meet.
Okay. That's energizing whenever you got a new new surroundings. MLive's Angela Whitrock. Thanks, Angela.
Thanks, Mark.